Welcome to the Kyle and Jim Fantasy Football Podcast Extraordinaire. I'm Jim. On the other side of the screen right here is Kyle. How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, great. We're recording on a Friday night this week, so you'll probably listen to this on Saturday, everybody. We apologize about the delay, but it feels good to be recording on a Friday. It's kind of more relaxing. I don't have to worry about being up late and getting up for work or any of that kind of bullshit tomorrow. How you doing?
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I'm doing good. Yeah, it is kind of nice knowing that I don't have to worry about going to bed right away. A lot of the times we record until like 9 o'clock and I'm just like, I have to work at 6 in the morning in Brilliant. So I'm waking up at like 4:30 to get ready. I'm like, yeah. It's a little rough those days. So yeah, it's kind of a nice change of pace. Yeah, doing good, feeling good, ready for the weekend.
Yeah, both our teams won. Both of our NFL teams won. My fantasy team doesn't really do that too often. Yours does, but
yeah, I've matched my Lions on wins, so I've had a very good year.
Yeah, I've grown accustomed to it, so it doesn't really affect me anymore. It was only bad until like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, whatever. The team sucks.
I know what you mean. There's like that.
I wake up and see the loss.
Yeah, that's always the funny way how like those seasons play out that do go bad. It's like you care for a long time. You're like, man, I can't wait to turn this around, and then you hit that one point. You're like, yep, I did everything I could. It was a good year. then, yep, all the nerves go away. It's a good feeling, too, in a way.
It is. There is a bit of relief off you, but I still got to worry about that stupid-ass loser's trophy. So,
yeah. There's a little bit of... Yeah, it's a little bit.
We're not phoning it in. We are still trying. Just trying not to take last place instead of win.
That's how it should feel. That's a good way we have it set up. Make it feel like that does...
There's always something. It. Yeah. Yep. You can't just call it a day.
It can get worse.
So yeah, we'll jump into the show here. So we'll start up with the fab bet from last week. So it was, will Christian McCaffrey score over 20? He did not. He only got 12.6, so not that great of a game for him. Richard, Ashley, Mike, Jim, Vicky, and Poor, you've had $5 added to your account, so spend it wisely. And next week's poll, we've got the Battle of the Bums. Which 3-8 team will get a win this week? It's myself versus Ashley. Pick the winner. I guess it's already in the text chat, so everyone knows. I think someone didn't vote, but it's too late to vote now. So whoever you were didn't vote, shame on you. And speaking of Ashley, we have a special guest on this week, and we'll cut over to her. Welcome to the show, Ashley. How's it going?
It's good. How are you guys?
Going good.
Good. It's Friday. It's a good day to record. Nice and relaxing.
Sorry about me making us have to reschedule. I've been like out of it all week. This is the first day that I didn't want to go to bed as soon as I got home. I don't know what's been wrong with me. Some kind of cold, I'm thinking, but man, it sucked.
It's going around. Glad you're feeling better.
Yeah. Me too.
Well, I'll kick it to you, Jim. You can start off the interview for us.
Yeah, so obviously you are our resident Viking fan here in the Fantasy Football League. So let's talk Vikings football. Kyle and I, when we did the original rankings for the season, we didn't really think much of the Vikings. We thought they were going to be the worst team in the division. Obviously, it's been quite different than that. Actually, for a point there, a lot of people were saying they're a Super Bowl favorite when they were on their undefeated streak. So things have changed a little bit. You know, you got some losses, building up some close games against inferior opponents, but, you know, it's still looking pretty solid. Do you think they can make a playoff run?
I was also in the same boat with you guys where I did not think that the season was going to be good for the Vikings, and they kind of surprised me. I would say with how they're playing recently, I can't see them going to the playoffs, and if they do, I can't see them going further than the first game.
Well, it's nice to have those. That was the Packers last year. Everyone had very low expectations, so if you make the playoffs and you win a game, it all feels like just it's all gravy.
Yeah, but I feel like the Vikings, every time they get to the playoffs, they're gone the first game. They lose. And then they're out. So
they've had a lot of heartbreak. That's for sure. I mean, Vikings and Lions fans can relate in that way.
Yeah, but at least this year you get the ups in that.
I mean, I've had the ups for two seasons in a row. It's really weird. I still don't know how to feel. The Lions have been one of the most incredible turnarounds I've ever seen by a sport franchise. So it's been surreal. So yeah, but
it's even more heartbreaking when you think you're like, dude, I think we have the best team this year.
And then I'm going to be crushed. Oh yeah. I'm trying to like, I don't know. We'll talk more about my team later. We don't want to overdo that.
All right. So yeah, next question. So we had Jim's bold prediction this year. It was that the Vikings would have a losing record and miss the playoffs. They're currently 8-2, kind of like we just mentioned. So while it's technically still possible, it seems extremely unlikely. So any words to toss over there to Jim for making such a terrible prediction?
Haha, you were wrong. What was yours? You said only 9 wins, right?
I think we were just trying to figure out like what it would take, and it was probably something around that. Like, yeah, they'd end it at like 9. So I don't remember exactly. We're trying to make some pretty risky predictions there. I was even put a caveat that I really like the Vikings coaches and I like a lot of their players. I just thought Sam Darnold was going to hold them back in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that from the beginning, but then he kind of surprised me. And I'm pretty sure you were the one that said that you think he was going to hit a high and then go down.
Yep.
And you may be right in that prediction.
Yeah, I mean, he's still playing way better than he played with the Jets. Like, he wasn't like a startable quarterback with the Jets. So what Kevin O'Connell's done with him is like nothing short of amazing. That's how good he's been, even in his like downstretch. But, you know, maybe he just needs some more reps. That's really what it comes down to. He was a really raw prospect when he came out in the NFL draft. So he's around the right team, I think, now, and the right coaching. And then you still have McCarthy backing him up for next year in case Darnold doesn't work out. So honestly, I think it's a good position to be in for the Vikings because they get to kind of see what Darnold is for the rest of the year and then make a decision.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think that quarterbacks definitely need the right coaching staff to bring out the best of their abilities. So who knows? Yeah. Maybe he'll progressively just keep getting better. And then beat the Lions.
Right. I mean, that was only a play away.
You got to beat the Bears first. That's the big matchup this weekend.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say, you know, Kyle's bold claim here, since we're on Darnold, he was talking about him winning the MVP this season. So my prediction doesn't maybe look as bad as Darnold winning the MVP after, what, 5 games, 11 touchdowns or whatever it was? You want to say to Kyle for being so wrong about that one?
I definitely did not agree with Kyle on that one when he said that it could happen. I was just like, I don't know what you're watching, but I do not think Darnold will be the MVP this season.
They were bold predictions. That one was
very bold.
Also a bad prediction.
But Jim's was obviously worse because he gave us a worse record or not even getting the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, if Lamar starts shitting the bed, Josh Allen and Sam Darnold turns it back on, there's still a chance.
Well, we need like 5 quarterbacks to die at least. What about Saquon and Derrick Henry and Jamar Chase?
There's a lot of season left. But yeah, it looks like I'm way off on that one. So we'll jump into the next question then. So you do not have your name on the trophy yet. But in 2018 and 2019, you were the runner-up 2 years in a row. So we know you're capable of putting together a good team. So I'm just curious, any idea what went so wrong this season to have you duking it out with myself for who's the worst in the league?
I think it's because I tried too hard. This was the first year that I did research, I looked into things, and I made notes, and then I picked the players, and then my team goes to shit real fast.
Sometimes less knowledge is more.
Yeah, in the beginning, I didn't know anything, and so I just was like, okay, this person, this person, this person. And this year, I'm like, okay, these are the people that I want. These are the people I'm getting. They're going to do great. I'm going to win the trophy. And I don't have a good record now.
I think there was an earlier episode where we're talking to Heebs about that. And I think almost all of us admitted our best like teams that we've had have all been the years that we like cared the least. and like tried the least, and those are the teams that end up just being really good. So it seems like the more research you do, the worse you end up.
Yeah. I'm going back to the basics next year. I'm not even looking up anything.
Just point at names. I think Vicky normally just picks the name she likes the most.
That's not a bad strategy. She did good last year. She almost won.
I think she's been more successful in this league than myself. So, yeah. So, speaking of duking it out at the bottom, you happen to be playing each other this week, you and Kyle, the two worst records in the league at the moment. You know, Kyle was pretty shocked, I think a week or two ago, that I even brought up that he could be the worst team in the league. So what makes you think that you're going to put him firmly in his place so he can realize that he is at risk of winning the Doc Johnson?
I mean, at this point, I feel like I can't really, like, say I'm going to beat him because I don't even have a full lineup. I'm still trying to fill up my lineup so that I have a full roster for this week. So if I can't do that, I mean, there's a good possibility that I might end up taking last place, but I'm definitely hoping that I can beat Kyle this week. I don't want to be in last.
I think I'm pretty sure I outbid you on at least one player on Thursday.
You did. You took defense, and I tried picking up a wide receiver, and you outbid me on both.
I bid kind of high on both of them. I'm like, this is like my Super Bowl. This is my Super Bowl for the year. Not being dead last, that's all I can do. Like I'm blowing my fab dollars this week. The rest doesn't matter.
Yeah, I cursed you, and then I said, I hope those players screw up your lineup and you lose, and they give you negative points because you took them from me.
Well, Steelers, you didn't do very good. So you can't be too upset with that one.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of funny that you guys are in the position you are, because like you are both like near the worst in record, but then like you guys are both kind of like struggling with buys and stuff. So you guys are both having to fight against each other on the waiver wire to make like rosters. Like it's actually going to be a really exciting game. I don't think I've ever seen anyone like announcing their lineups for the question yet. You guys are both like, oh, I don't have my lineup set. I'm going to have my lineup set so people know how to vote, because there's so much like changes between both your teams by now and probably the game starting.
Yeah. I don't know why the majority voted for me. I don't think my lineup's going to win.
I was missing some big names. That's why I voted you. Both his running backs are out.
Yeah, both my starter running backs are gone. The Tank Bigsby had to be hurt too, so I can't put him in. That's
a rough week. Is Metcalf back yet?
Yeah, he is back.
Okay.
All my receivers are there, but all my receivers kind of suck, so.
Yeah, Metcalf was doing good in the beginning of the year.
We'll see what he does. But next question I just got to ask for the record. Lee's team started off terrible. Looked like he might be getting the trophy back. But then he started to get hot, and suddenly your team started to look really bad. So just got to make sure there's no concerted household effort there to make sure you guys get the trophy back into the house.
I do not want that trophy back in my house. So, I mean, I wish that my team, like when Nico Collins went out, it was just a tumbling effect for my team, because then Chris Olave went out and then Deontay Johnson got traded, and those were my starting wide receivers. And if they only could have went out in the beginning, maybe I could be in Lee's place right now where my team would be getting hot again. But I do not want the Doc Johnson.
You do not want it. Okay.
Just confused. Yeah, we were getting worried. You know, maybe maybe Lee has a special place for it. You know, he's already kind of starting to tear up when he looks at it, knows that it might be gone soon.
Well, if he wants it back, he can trade me some players, and he can go for that. He can take that trophy. I'm not going to keep him from the Doc Johnson, but he can win it.
Yeah, if he actually wins it, I feel like she can't put it in the same place, because that's kind of like Lee's gaming room.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
true. So let's put it in somewhere that matters to her, I guess. I don't know where you're going to put it.
The basement. I love the basement.
Oh, yeah. You always hang out down there.
In the laundry room.
Everybody does.
I'll put it on Lee's bedside table so every morning when he wakes up, that's what he'll see.
Shouldn't it have to be on your side of the bed?
No, because when I get up, the first thing I look at is Lee, so then I would see it on the bedside table, so it'd be perfect.
Oh, sure. You'll have to convince
Same.
Leah that, I guess.
Well, how about we got, still a good matchup here. I don't want to get away from it, but I don't think you were aggressive enough, and I've been kind of harping on the league because we get all these interviews, you get the chance to talk shit. You're literally crossed the screen right now looking at this man. You can save the whole entire show right now and talk some shit to Kyle. Let him know how you feel and how you are not going to get the Doc Johnson. And this is going to be a showcasing of what is going to happen to him in the finals for the Doc Johnson.
Okay, well, Kyle, you are going down this week. I'm going to kick your ass, and you will be the one accepting the Doc Johnson at the end of the year. That's all I got. I don't want to be like, I don't want to get like too mean about it because I don't even have a full lineup right now.
Gotta have confidence.
No.
Confidence is what matters.
Well, I'm confident I'm going to beat him this week.
There you go. This is kind of like that Cool Runnings scene where they're in the bathroom and he's trying to tell that guy to talk to his dad. It's like you go out there and you tell him. I can't remember the quote, but hopefully you guys know what I'm talking about.
Don't
Don't
remember
think
that
I've ever
part.
seen it.
Oh,
But yeah,
darn.
Ashley, your team's terrible. I got all the players you wanted this week. You ain't got no chance. You're fucked.
There
I'm
you
moving up
go.
to second to last.
Well, good luck, because I doubt that's going to happen, but we'll see. Yeah,
Like, I could even be in third to last, depending how other people do, if the right people lose.
so he's looking at getting third to last, or that's how confident he is.
I gotta avoid that week one bye in the losers playoff, get myself an extra chance to win and get out. Otherwise, you only get two games.
Yeah, that's rough.
Well, yeah, I don't plan to lose this week, so good luck.
Well, good luck to you too.
All right.
I will say before you go, I know we shit all over you picking up your quarterback earlier this year. So I was wrong on it. Jim was wrong on it too. He's been awesome. I think he's still like a top five quarterback this year. That was money well spent.
Yeah, and the nice part was when he shit the bed was the week I was playing Jim. So I knew I wasn't going to win anyways. And I'm like, if you're going to shit the bed, do it this week. And he did. So it worked.
Even without his top two receivers, he's still been good except for that week.
Yeah.
That was like his one real down week. Other than that, yeah, he's been incredible.
Now Evans is back. But if you would like to shit the bed again, this would be the perfect week to do it, I think.
I don't think so.
I think he's got two in him.
Yeah, he
One's not
did.
enough.
Before I picked him up, he shit the bed, so that's his two.
Okay.
I think that those are two
Two
rushing
each.
touchdowns he's talking about. He's saying at least two rushing touchdowns on the ground. So if you add these passing touchdowns, he pulls the Jared Goff and gets the receiving touchdown. He might be at like six or seven looking at a 50-point game. I like it.
I like the way you think.
Yeah, see, positive thoughts. Nothing bad can happen. I'm a Lions fan. I know these things.
All right.
Right. Yeah, I think that's all the questions we got for you.
All right, well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for
Thank you for
coming on.
coming.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too.
You too.
And bad luck in
Bye.
fantasy.
Yeah, you too. Suck it.
Bye. All right. Always great hearing from a league mate. Thanks, Ashley, for being on. And we'll jump into the next segment. So, next segment, we've got our Malort shot bet. This week, we did it on Thursday Night Football and went back to the classics. I had the Commanders, Jim had the Eagles, who I still don't quite trust and probably never will, but the Eagles got the win in the fourth quarter. I was kind of watching this while I was playing darts, and the Commanders were up by a little bit most of the game. And then all of a sudden, I like looked away because darts was over. I think we were doing like the shakes of the day and stuff at the bar. All of a sudden, I looked back down and the Eagles had scored 20 points and were winning the game by a ton. It's kind of a weird one. I thought I had it in the bag.
The Eagles are high, you know, powered offense, so that's what they can do. They're never really out. You know, it's just kind of team they are. Saquon, you know, their receiver, their big play threats, and then Hurts always has crazy games in him. And he's also really hot and cold, so I think he does that sometimes where he starts games out slow and then he really hits it on at the end or vice versa.
Yeah, they were just looking, they were looking pretty pathetic three quarters of the game. But yeah, just once they got hot, they got hot.
Yeah, I'm still a little nervous of them. Like I said, I think they're the number one competition for the Lions in the NFC right now. Ever since Quinyon Mitchell, that rookie, has started taking more snaps for the corner there, they've been doing really good. They also, or actually it's not him, it was when they brought in DeJean, they brought him in as the defensive safety, and he's been a huge difference maker. That's when their defense started turning around. That's when they went on their win streak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was, yeah, I mean, their defense was good because the Commanders hadn't scored much either, but they had like a 4-point lead or something going into the fourth. To lose by that much was strange. But anyways, my lord, down the hatch. All right. Good old Malort. So that makes it 5-6, favoring me, for anyone that's counting. So I started off pretty hot on these, but we're almost evened out now.
Yeah, had a good run. I think I'm like, what, 4-1 out of 5 or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was 4-1 to start the season.
Yeah.
And now it's, you've only gotten 2 more and I've gotten 5 more, or 4 more. Yeah, it's definitely a lot closer. But next week's bet, we're betting on Anthony Richardson because he's playing against the Lions. We were kind of discussing him before we started recording. So the bet we came up with was, what will his completion percentage be this week? We decided on over under 55% completion percentage, which is pretty low for the NFL average, but that's actually above his current average. But I've got the under.
No, I have the under.
Jim has the under. Yeah. I got the over.
Yep.
So for anyone who wants to have something fun to watch during the Lions game, watch Anthony Richardson, see how many passes he completes.
It'd be exciting. We don't know if it's going to be good, but it'll be exciting.
Yeah. It'll make it more exciting for me, even if the Lions are winning. I mean, I'm rooting for the Lions to lose, obviously.
Right.
Because every loss would be great, since they only have one. But mainly, I'm just rooting for a good passing percentage. So it's kind of, it just kind of works out in my favor. I'm rooting for him to do good, basically what I'm doing.
Well, if the Lions blow him out, it kind of works in your favor, because then they go to prevent defense, and it makes it easier to pass. So.
Yeah.
There's other ways for him to get it, too.
But he might start bombing it if they're behind and then make it even worse for himself.
True. He doesn't actually
throw it 70 yards.
He's an outlier. He doesn't even follow the normal when it comes to that stuff.
NFL week highlights. I didn't do much of this since we had a guest on. I'm kind of cutting this part out for the most part. But I do have one highlight. That's because the Chiefs, they lost their first game to Buffalo. So the Chiefs are no longer undefeated. They lost to Buffalo 30-21, so now there's no undefeated teams left. The last undefeated season remains in the hands of the 1972 Dolphins, for anyone who cares. Just pretty interesting that it's held up for that long. But the seasons are longer. I don't know if that's ever going to get beaten.
I mean, we got close once, and then Eli Manning happened. So, it's... How many years is that? It's a long time. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be broke. I really don't.
All right. So we'll jump into the main part of the NFL that we all care about, which is the NFC North.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
We'll start with the Packers. They beat the Bears 20-19. 1-point victory. The Bears had their... We all saw it. But the Bears had their game-winning field goal blocked at the end of regulation. Packers are now 11-0 against the Bears in the last 6 seasons. The longest active win streak over another team in the NFL. So it's a win. It was way closer than most people expected. Way closer than I wanted. The Bears' offense, they actually looked competent for the first time in like the last month. They were picking up some big third downs pretty regularly. Caleb Williams was running around. He ran for 70 yards in this game. I didn't see that coming. It's It's not really been his thing this year. Packers didn't seem like they were... They didn't see that coming either because they had nothing to stop it. Packers, they did have two bad turnovers in the red zone this game. Jordan Love threw a pick 6-yard line when we were about to score. Part of the ride with him, it's going to happen weekly, I guess. And then another time they went for it on fourth down from about the 5 and failed to convert, so handed it back to the Bears. So pretty big point swing there with those two things, but thank God they squeaked out the win. Thank God that one dude, I don't even know who it was, got the fingers on the ball to block that field goal. That would have been an absolutely brutal loss.
That's a crazy way to win a game.
Yes, it is.
How did that feel in that moment with your family?
Yeah, so I was watching it. I had three cousins from Chicago up in town for a Thanksgiving thing. And they were having a blast. So that felt extremely good. I told them before the game, I was like, I'm kind of worried about this one. No one beats a team that many times in a row. Eventually something goes wrong. I don't even care how much better you are than the other team. Shit can go wrong. But turned out it went wrong for the Bears, not the Packers. I'll take that all day.
Hey, as a Lions fan, we had a worse one against you. What was it, like 24 straight losses at Lambeau? Something like that. So I know exactly how that feels as a Bears fan.
Yeah, that was at Lambeau. I think you guys had won games.
In Detroit interim. We had, yes. Yeah. But it was at Lambeau. It was like 24 losses in a row. And one of them was the Hail Mary when we should have won. And that was like, I think that was like at 21 or something. That record was starting to just like eat at us for years. And you could just literally say it. And then every Lions fan would like quiver.
Yeah, so next match we had the Vikings. They beat the Titans 23-13. This game was on the same time as the Packers. Actually, one of the people that came up, it's like one of the cousin's friends was a Vikings fan, so we also were watching this game kind of in the downtime. Vikings, they pretty much had control of this game the whole time. It was a pretty solid win. They looked good. Not that the Vikings are that great, but honestly, if it weren't for a crazy 98-yard touchdown pass from inside the end zone from the Titans, this game would have been just an absolute blowout. I think it was closer than it even looks with that score, because that touchdown was pretty fluky. You don't usually get a 98-yard touchdown in a game to make up over half of your points.
I mean, I don't think the Titans are very good. I mean, we've all played against them, right?
Yeah, they haven't beat. I don't think they beat. Even I think the Bears beat them week one, didn't they? Wasn't that their week one game?
You beat them. Oh, maybe. Did you guys play week two? Week three?
We played them when we had Malik Willis, so it was week two or week three.
Yeah.
They played the Colts and the Titans.
I knew it was those two. Yeah, I think everyone's played them, and yeah, I think we've all beat them. They're not that good.
No.
They have a young quarterback who is a turnover machine. He's not very good. They have some good talent on defense. They can keep games kind of close. And that's probably why this game was, in a situation it was. But yeah, it's just a bad team. And the Vikings, they're a solid team. We talked about it with Ashley. They're really well coached. So they're going to win types games like this pretty much every time. They're not going to lose to an inferior opponent, I don't think. Too well coached.
Yeah. Yeah. They had control the whole time. They looked good. And the last matchup we had for the week was the Lions beat the Jags 52-6. So after trailing 0-3 in the early game, the Lions just decided to score every single time they got the ball for the rest of the game. It's crazy. Lions kind of did things backwards in this game. They ran the ball for the entire first half, got a big old lead. In the second half, they decided to start throwing the ball. For whatever reason, I don't know. That's what they went with. I don't know if they were just letting their running backs rest for the second half of the game, but another absolutely dominant performance from the Lions. Lions still play, I looked at their schedule, they play the Packers, the Vikings, and the Bills this season, so we'll see if they can keep that loss column at only one for the rest of the year. Because I looked through, I was like, man, they don't have that many hard matchups even left, but there's a few. There's a few they could screw up.
Yeah, I mean, two division games, you can lose those. I mean, even the Bears, I'm not like...
You got two against the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not ruling those out. It's just division games are like that. So you have those games, and yeah, the Bills, that might be the Super Bowl showcase. So
that'll be a fun game.
Huge game. So I'm excited for that one. So Yeah, this team has been beyond good. It's one of those things where, like, I always kind of dreamed of watching a good football team, but this is getting really, like, scary good. I know I brought it up in the past. There's a stat called DVOA. It's called defense adjusted value over average. So basically, it just kind of takes all the data points for a season and really shows how. Actually, I can look it up real quick. I had it up before. DVOA.
It's going to be Pro Alliance, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So DVOA catches a team's success based on down and distance of each play during the season, then calculates how much or less successful each team is compared to the league average. So it's a metric they've been using since like the 70s, and it's a really good way to determine how good a team is. Teams that start like 1-4 have really good DVOA on the season, always kind of turn the season around, things like that. So it's widely looked at as like a really good tool for determining how good a team is. Mm-hmm. Well, throughout the 1979 to 2024, the top 10 teams right now after 10 games, the Lions would be considered number 3 of all time on this for how good their offense and defense.
Who's 1 and 2? Do you know?
Number 1 is the 10-0 New England Patriots, 2007.
Is that the Randy Moss year?
That was the 16-0 year.
Oh yeah, okay.
Randy Moss, the 50 touchdowns from Brady. That was like the greatest season we've ever seen, even though they lost the Super Bowl still. Yeah. The 1991 Washington Redskins, which is like a crazy good team. One of the like the best teams of all time.
Yeah, that's what I watched.
Yeah, that was 1 and 2. So Lions would be 3. 4 would have been the 98 Broncos that beat the Packers and Favre in the Super Bowl. And then 5 is, or not 5, actually 6, I wanted to say, 1985 Bears. So teams like that. That's the type of teams that are sitting around.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to like, oh, you know, they still got to win, right? They got to win a Super Bowl.
Is Packers 15-1 season up there? Or are they not that good that year?
They're not on here. The top teams from top to bottom, so, or the ones we already went over. So we had New England is number 1, the 91 Redskins are 2, the 2024 Lions are 3, the 98 Broncos, 4, 5 is the 2018 Chiefs, the ones that lost to Tom Brady's Buccaneers.
Yeah.
So they were really good. 6 is 1985 Bears. 7 is the 2023 Ravens, actually. That's why I loved the Ravens so much last year. It was because they were really high in this. I thought they were going to be a great team. Next is the 1990 Giants, which was Lawrence Taylor years. 95 is the Cowboys. 84 is the Miami year with Marino's rookie year, I think. And then the last two are the 07 and 92 Cowboy seasons. So those are the top 10 teams of all time after 10 games by this metric. So,
yeah, I mean, they look incredibly good this year. That's 2 50 point games and 1 49 point game. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's happening every week. They just never let up.
They don't let up. Yeah, there is that.
So, I mean, people probably think they're running up the score, but I think that's just the mentality thing. You're talking about how they stopped running in the second half. I think that's just because that's how they play. They normally establish the run early and then they pass. They don't care that they're up that many scores. They're just going to keep playing their game until the other team raises a white flag. That's just how they play.
Yeah, that's pretty wild game. They've had a couple of them this year.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous with so many stats everywhere that really show how good they are.
Are they the Super Bowl favorites now?
Yeah, the Super Bowl favorites. The first time ever in Detroit Lions history that they are the favorites of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're impressive. I'm curious what's going to happen with those few hard teams they have to play against yet. And the divisional games. Like I said earlier, I'm really hoping the Bears could pull one over on you on Thanksgiving Day.
Except I don't think any of those games were granted.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys saw it last week. You know, it was.
Yeah.
It was close. You know, you looked like the better team, but it doesn't matter. Those games are always ugly. That's how they happen.
All right. So that's the end of the NFC North. Current standings, we've got Lions sitting on top, 9-1. We got the Vikings at number 2. They're 8-2. Packers at number 3 with 7-3. And the Bears are in last with the only losing record of 4-6. They've had a lot of close games too. They could, including the Packers, they could easily have a winning record too.
Yeah.
But they don't, so they can suck it. I mean, we don't have any.
Bears still suck.
This league, yeah. All right, we'll jump into the fab spending. So the big spend of the week was Mike spends $20 on CJ Stroud. I don't know why Mike keeps spending. I think he spent over $60 on quarterbacks now. Like it's it's crazy. Okay, so he spent $20 on CJ Stroud. The next highest bid was $2 by Poor, so an incredible overspend. Jaggy let him go last week after much peeing and hawing about it. But she needed to feel the roster to try to have a chance to win, so she let him go. The crazy part for Mike, though, is he has Joe Burrow and Jane Daniels on his roster. And I looked it up. That's the number 2 and the number 6 quarterbacks in fantasy scoring this year in our league. So I don't get the point of adding a quarterback that's clearly worse than them. CJ Stroud's 17th in scoring for reference, which isn't even top 12, so he's not even worth, in my opinion, being on a roster. He did have Nico Collins coming back this week, so there was that, maybe he'll bounce back with that, but he hasn't looked like he did last season, this season, so I give this one 2 big old thumbs down.
Yeah, I mean, I still wouldn't mind taking a shot on the player, but not for $20, you know? And like you said, it's even more puzzling when you have number 2, number 6 quarterback on the year for fantasy. You'll never start CJ Stroud. Like, never. Well, so, unless he's trying to make a trade. Is he?
Someone started him last week, I should say, and lost because of it. But we'll get into that in the matchup recap.
Oh, okay. That's right. But yeah, I don't understand it. So hopefully he's trying to make a trade or something. But
it's good, good comedy. I enjoy it. But the next one we had was Audric Estime, running back for the Broncos. Also went to Mike for $10. Next highest was $1 by Poor. So after looking like he was going to be the dude in Denver the previous week, this week he only got 6 carries and 3 receptions. I did like this one, despite the results. It looked like the Broncos were kind of looking towards next season. They wanted to see what they had with their new guy. I think he was worth $10 because it looked like they might want to feature him because he was the younger back. So I gave it a thumbs up despite the poor performance of it.
Yeah. I haven't like followed it too closely because I didn't know the whole situation, but anytime you're bidding on a potential starter running back on a roster, like it's worth a lot more than $10. So if it works out at least. So I would always take a risk on that.
Yeah, I thought it was well worth it. I was surprised he didn't get used more, but the Broncos are actually kind of in contention still now, so they might be moving away from the see what we have for next year.
It was kind of like a blowout, wasn't it?
The Broncos?
Yeah. Who did they play? Didn't they play the Falcons? They kind of blew them out.
Yeah.
So maybe they just kind of started resting them because they're up so big. Maybe they do want to keep them for their main guy.
Could be that too.
Hold them for another week.
Well, we'll see what he has in them going forward. Last one I have of note was Rashad Bateman, wide receiver for Baltimore, went to $5 for Richard. Next highest was $2 by Lee. So Rashad Bateman's, he's had a few hot weeks this season, pretty much when he gets into the end zone. I didn't mind it. He's a wide receiver that has shown he can score over 10 points, even if it's a little bit sporadic, so I gave it a thumbs up. It's hard to find receivers in this league.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. I mean, receivers are valuable. It's probably the most valuable position in the league. And like you said, he's had a couple big weeks. Whenever you have a receiver that's tied to a great quarterback, you know, you can have good weeks. So I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, and keep in mind, because we're recording this on Friday, this is last Thursday. This isn't the most recent Thursday we're talking about. So if you had some spending from yesterday, we'll talk about that next Tuesday. That's all I had for the fab spending. Trade block section, there's no trades again this week. I think trade deadline's next week. So if you're thinking about trading, get it done pretty quick here.
Yep. Last week to make a change.
I feel like I might move that. I feel like we should move that up a little bit next year. Because that'll be like, there's only 2 weeks left of the season at that point.
Yeah, it seemed kind of late to me. Yeah. It didn't seem like that's a normal week, but maybe that has been what it's always been.
I didn't change it, so I'm guessing that's what it just was. We never really traded much until this year anyways. This year, trades started rolling. Yeah, I think I might cut it off at, like, this week.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't mind. Do it done by this week next year instead. Because that way there's at least 3 matches left.
Yeah, it makes it so, like, your trades actually feel like they matter.
Yeah, especially if we're trading picks. I want people not to be like, I guess you kind of already know sometimes anyways beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, that's rare cases, though, right? So
yeah.
I mean, you can't catch all of them. Most teams are going to be competitive in the last 3 weeks, especially with the points scores or highest point scoring getting in for a slot.
Yeah. You have to do a playoff picture next week on the show. Do a playoff preview or something. We're getting down to the wire here. But we'll jump into the next segment. We got the injuries. So we had Gabe Davis. He tore his meniscus and will be out for the rest of the season. So let's all take a moment and pray for that leg.
I'm sending up my prayers. I already prayed for his leg.
I love that clip.
I do too. Also, that's it. Shockingly, no other offensive injuries. Well, no other offensive fantasy player injuries in the NFL. I can't believe there's only one person on the list for a week. That's insane. So let's keep it up, NFL. That's better for fantasy.
Right, yeah. I mean, fortunately, Gabe Davis isn't really, you know, doing anything for anybody. So,
No, but he was probably on someone's roster. Maybe he wasn't even.
I don't think he was that good. He was having a pretty bad year. So I don't think he was. If he was, he was earlier in the year. I don't think anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even good last year. He was just a boomer bust guy that you could put in your lineup as like a prayer, like, please get a 90-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get that, you're going to get, like, 1 point. All right, so we'll jump into the final section. We got the matchup recap. So we had myself versus Vicky. Vicky wins 141.38 to 119.08. So this was a rematch of last year's championship game. Except this year, we're fighting to see who's the worst in the league. Crazy how 1 year can change everything like that. Vicky had the Jared Goff and Amon-Ra stack. Amon-Ra St. Brown stack, and that is what sunk me this week. Like I said, and I noted it when we talked about the Lions, all of these two's production was in the second half of the game when they were already up by like 20 points. I was kind of watching it, and I was like, oh, they have a good lead. This should be great. Goff ain't going to get any points. Amon-Ra will probably get a few catches to pick up the third downs, but no, instead they get touchdowns stacking on top of each other, and they just crushed me. I think Jared Goff was the high scoring quarterback of the week.
Yeah, I mean, this game was close for you guys, and Vicky was like, you know, kind of looking at her roster, but she was busy doing some take home work. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of giving her updates, and I'm just kind of, you know, yeah, it's probably looking good for you. Lions are up way too big. They're going to start slowing things down. I don't expect, you know, Goff is going to have a good game, you know, and then same thing with Amon-Ra, and then it was just like a couple, you know, let's say like 30 minutes later, it's like, oh yeah, never mind, Jared Goff has like 30 points and so does Amon-Ra. So yeah, it was definitely not how those games normally go.
Yeah, I got Jared Goff in both my leagues last week.
Oh
really? Like I said, both of them, like, they're up by so much, he ain't gonna do shit now. And yeah, second half just ruined me.
That's rough.
Yeah, on my side, my running backs actually did great this week. My wide receivers did okay, just wasn't enough. Vicky, on her side, she started Dalton Kincaid. After making sure to pick up Dawson Knox as his backup, she forgot to switch him out.
Yeah. we started the games, and she's just like, wait, I didn't get a tight end? I'm like, no, you got a tight end, but you still had to swap them because she's so used to dropping like a defense that's on her roster at starting and then picking up a defense and they automatically put it in this year. And she got lazy with that and didn't look at her team in time. So yeah, she was feeling it. She didn't like it.
Luckily, it didn't matter.
No.
Yeah, and I actually still had a shot on this game on Monday night, on Sunday night. football. But T. Higgins decided to have his best game of the season and just seal my spot at the bottom of the league. So good job starting T. Higgins. He had, I think, like 25 points or something. I lost by about 20.
Really? Yeah. He's been actually pretty good when they've been when he's been healthy.
He is a good player. Yeah, he's a good player. My next matchup. Go ahead.
I think he's close to wide receiver one on the season, like when he's played or when he's been healthy, like per game.
Yeah, I'm curious if he could be a wide receiver one on a different team, because we might find that out next year. Because it seems like they didn't sign Chase, but I'm assuming they're going to sign Chase and then let T. Higgins go.
Yeah, I think Higgins is almost guaranteed to be gone. I think they might not even get like much for him because he might be a free agent, isn't he?
I think so. I think that was the problem, is like they had to sign either Jamar Chase or T. Higgins.
Yep.
And obviously it's going to be Jamar Chase. I don't think they have the money to do them both.
No, they don't. I was reading something like Bengals fans complaining because they could have signed him like 2 years ago. And if they would have, it would have worked out. But they like kept like holding off on signing him. So now they pissed him off and like he doesn't even want to even think about re-signing, so they're not going to get draft capital back for him.
I mean, they did that with Jamar Chase, too. Like, they could have signed him this last offseason, but instead they waited. I mean, I think he has 2 years left on his contract, so, I mean, I get why they don't want to, but it's going to cost you more. If he has another great season, which he's having another great season, it's going to be more expensive this year.
Their owner is notorious for being, like, cheap with contracts and stuff.
What I hear, yeah.
Something that's happened with them. They don't really have a very good stadium and stuff. Like, he's just basically fortunate to even own a team. He doesn't really put much into it, so that could all be part of it too. They just don't want to pay the money.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out for him. But yeah, next matchup we had Tiff versus Carstens. Carstens wins this one 115.38 to 101.38. Lamar Jackson had his worst game of the season. He only scored 14.88 for Carstens. Luckily it didn't ruin the week for him. Jonnu Smith, he had a fantastic game in the tight end slot for Carson, scoring 2 touchdowns and 25.1 fantasy points. You love to get that much out of your tight end. Doesn't happen very often. On the flip side, we had Travis Kelce on Tiff's team get 1.8 from her tight end slot. So, I mean, that's the difference in that game, plus some. And then last note on that one, we had Tyler Algier. He gets no carries and only one reception for -1 yards for Tiff. He's been pretty good this year. That was weird to see.
Yeah, he's kind of taken a back seat the last couple weeks. Bijan is really getting most of the work.
He has been.
But maybe it's just one of those things like, yeah, you can't take Bijan off the field. He might be the most talented running back in the league.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're taking a page out of the Niners book and be like, let's just give it to one guy. He's the best guy. And hopefully doesn't get hurt. You're good. All right. Back into the matchups. We had Lee versus Scoot. Scoots wins this one. 158.3 to 106.94. Good game by Scoots. Ended Lee's winning streak there with a pretty incredible score. This one, the tight end slot's really what swung this one the most. Lee started George Kittle, who did not play. And Scoot started Taysom Hill, who, while he is technically a tight end, he had very... I'll just go over his stats because it's kind of crazy. So he scored 37.52. He had 7 carries as a tight end. 7 carries for 138 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then he also had 8 receptions for 50 yards, more like a tight end. Then he also passed the ball twice. For 18 yards, he did throw an interception. Not only that, these points don't count in our league, but he also had 42-yard kickoff return. So, if there was ever the ultimate sports ball player, I mean, Taysom Hill, it's crazy, right? Crazy how he is used.
That's like probably the craziest stat line I've ever heard in the NFL.
It is. It has to be.
Yeah, at least in modern NFL, because that's like the stuff that they used to do in like the 40s, you know, you played like safety and running back. So maybe, those guys had some crazy stats, but that's what that looks like. That looks like something I would have saw from like a 40s stats on a game.
Yeah, like the only thing you could have done more is if they put him in on defense for something. It's like, oh, he got a sack too.
Right.
Why the fuck not?
I love how he actually threw an interception too, just to add to all the random shit that he accounted for in one game. Like, that is just absolutely incredible. It makes me love the guy. He carved out this like very niche role that we've never seen anyone really have in the NFL. It kind of makes me disappointed that Tim Tebow didn't want to try to do the tight end thing in the NFL, because I feel like this would have been something he would have been great at. It like fit him so well. But Taysom Hill is like, he's like what I think everyone thought Tim Tebow could have been if he would have been like this gadget NFL player. And it's great to see.
Yeah, I love it. He does this not this crazy, but he has games like this like once or twice a year where it's just like, well, 30 to 40 points, because he gets a bunch of rushing touchdowns and weird packages where he throws the ball.
It's very
boomer bust player, but he's incredibly fun. It's incredibly fun seeing it.
He's the ultimate boomer bust player, really, because it's like, yeah, he gets you like nothing some games, and some games he just goes off for 30. I think he had a big crazy 30-point game last year too, like a similar game, where it's like, yeah, he had like 50 reception or 50 yards receiving and like a bunch of touchdowns on the goal line as a runner.
Yeah, I feel like most of his production comes as a runner every time, but he's a tight end. It's so weird. And even when he is running, it's usually when he's lining up his quarterback, and then he just does the keepers. So it's not like he's getting a handoff from the actual quarterback.
Yeah. No, he's almost like wildcat quarterback at that point.
Yeah.
Wasn't he an ex-Packer?
Yeah, he was a Packer. I don't even know if he was ever on the active roster. I think he was just like on the practice squad, and they cut him.
I think he was like actually like decent though. Like he like started like preseason games, and like he was at, or like played in the preseason games, and was actually like kind of like a fun player. Yeah.
People that was the Mike McCarthy years. He never would have kept him. If it was their current coach, maybe they would have tried to work with him. But it's in the Mike McCarthy days. He didn't play that kind of football.
No, he wasn't that innovative.
There was never going to be a player like that on the team. Which sucks though. I mean, if they could have had him and kept him around, like the crazy shit you could do.
He's got to be a fan favorite. They just must freaking love that guy. I mean, whenever he goes out on the field, you know, like Kuhn back in the days with the Packers, like how he'd get like those goal line carries, and like that's got to be what happens to Hill at every single Saints game that he scores.
I mean, he's an NFL favorite. I mean, everyone fucking loves Taysom Hill. It's so just so wild things that he does. So the fans, must absolutely fucking love him even more. Next up we had Joe Mixon on Lee's team. Gets it done again. Wasn't quite enough to mount the comeback on Monday night, but that dude just keeps killing it. I don't know when he got Joe Mixon, but that's got to be one of the best picks in the draft. He was hurt for a while, but my God, he's been so... He's kind of had more carries than anybody else. The dude gets the ball like 20, 25 times a game.
It's what I kind of always thought he was going to be. I feel like he just underperformed his whole career on the Bengals almost. Like, he had this in him his whole life. Like, I always thought he was one of the best running backs in the league, but he just never quite got there as a fantasy player. I think he had like 1 or 2 years on the Bengals, but it was always like their offensive line was bad. Now he's finally around a situation that I think fits him better. And yeah, he's just going off. It seems like every week he's putting up 25, 30 points.
Yeah. Yeah, these teams look pretty good. Scoots is too, though, because he smoked him pretty hard here. Then Scoots, he also had, part of the reason Scoots smoked so hard is he had Boswell on his team, who made 6 out of 6 field goals for 24 fantasy points. So that's another huge swing in Scoots' favor. I mean, between that and the tight end, that's the game right there. Sometimes that happens. It's also why kickers suck, so should get rid of him.
I mean, it kind of is why Taysom Hill sucks, too. I remember, that's kind of funny, at the draft, I don't remember what Lee and I were talking about it, but I think that's why he made the comment in the chat, was that we were talking about Taysom Hill, and he was like talking about how he was like basically a cheat code in fantasy football. He hated it. So the fact that this game happened to Lee of all people is hilarious. And he said something in our chat like how Taysom Hill should be banned again. He was like so annoyed that he's losing to him. And like having that game plus your kicker score 24, those the outliers between both those guys. It's just so crazy to think that those two happened on the same team, same week.
There was that one year where he got declared the starter got hurt, so they put him in. They're like, yeah, he'll just be our starting quarterback now. Mm-hmm. And he was on Carson's team that year. I remember it. He basically got to start 2 quarterbacks every week because his tight end was a quarterback.
Yep.
Because ESPN wouldn't change his position. I think they finally did change his position at like week 15 or something. It took him, there was like 5 weeks of he just got to start two quarterbacks. I'm like, no one really bitched in our league, but like online, people were so pissed. They're like, dude, this is bullshit. He's a starting quarterback, and people are starting him as their tight end. And
yeah, it was, yeah. I think they stopped it right before the playoffs because they weren't going to be like having people lose their championships to that, because I'm sure that would have made a lot of really bitter fantasy football players. Because yeah, he was the ultimate cheat code. We haven't seen anything like that in a long time. The one that I remember, the first one I remember, was actually Marcus Colston. In his rookie season, he was actually like drafted as a tight end because he was like a undrafted player, so they didn't know like where he would even play. So he was put into the machine as like a wide receiver and tight end for fantasy football, and he started the first week of the season, and he was ended up being like incredible, like one of the best rookie receivers of all time, and he did it at tight end. So he was just ridiculous, like 1300 yards, like 10-12 touchdowns, and like 100 receptions is what he did his rookie year.
Oh my God.
As a tight end. So it was something similar to that too. So that's happened before as well.
It does happen every so often. There was a Packer player one year who was like our third string wide receiver. I think it was Ty Montgomery. But yeah, like I think, was it Eddie Lacy that year? This is a while ago. But yeah, our starting running back got hurt and our second string running back got hurt. And they're like, maybe the third string got hurt too, because they're like, we need a running back. We don't have one. Like, oh, this guy used to play running back. We'll just put him as our running back. And then he was the starting running back for the team for the rest of the year. But he was designated a wide receiver, so you could... And he was like such a fringe wide receiver that he wasn't really worth starting as a wide receiver. But all of a sudden it's like, now he's a running back, and he's the starting running back for a good offense. So he's getting a ton of points. And from your wide receiver spot as a running back, it was not as busted as a tight end being a quarterback, but it was still kind of a pretty big advantage to start a running back in your wide receiver spot.
Oh yeah. I mean, I would know in this exact league, I was the one that owned him.
Oh, are you?
Okay. I remember it very specifically because I played against Mike in the game right before the championship. It was either Mike or I think it was Mike, but it could have been Jackie. It's one of those two. And I remember debating between him the whole time, but I had a pretty solid team. And I was like, I know he's like the cheat code this year, but I'm like, I'm going to bench him. And I was like really struggling with it. And he ended up being like a difference. If I would have started him, I would have definitely won. I remember it very specifically. So he has some history with us.
Yeah, it's always kind of weird when that shit happens. But yeah, once every 3-4 years, something wonky like that winds up happening.
Surprised it didn't happen to like Sante Samuel. Debo. Like he was something similar to that. I think he got in that position too.
Yeah, he's kind of used like that. There was like a Percy Harvin was kind of one of those guys too. Yeah. Like he's not a running back, he's not a receiver, he's just like a gadget guy.
Oh. I know one more of them. Cordero Patterson. He switched from receiver to running back.
That's what I was thinking of, actually, yeah.
Yeah. He was another really big one because he switched from receiver to running back with the Patriots that one year.
Oh, like
he
actually ended up being
really good, yeah. So I didn't have him, but I remember him being a pretty solid one, too. So there's a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. It's weird that you get to the NFL like that, even. Like, what position do you play? Like, I just play all of them. Whatever one you want.
I'm that good.
Play all of them at, like, a B tier. Not that great at any of them, but...
I mean, is that more impressive than being like Pat Mahomes?
Probably. I mean, is it?
More rare, I think, you know? At least like Taysom Hill. I feel like that's more unique than like a great quarterback.
I can run like a running back. I can catch passes like a tight end. I can return kicks.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not as good of a passer as you, but I know I can catch and run and return kicks better than you. So
right.
I got three. You're out of
a
better four.
Player at that point, like just by like the definition of like being a football player, like you can do more as a football player.
All right, we'll jump into the next one. So we had you versus Ashley. So you win this one, 145.14, 65.94. So you doubled her up.
This is was close like 2 weeks ago, and you made that comment too. And this one actually ended up being that way.
So Ashley started B. Robinson and B. Robinson Jr. as her running back duo. They combined for 22. They combined for a whopping 22 points, which happens to be less than either one of your starting running backs this week. So that kind of hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. On your team, you had Ja'Marr Chase. He had another 2-touchdown game. Can't go wrong with that. Jameson Williams, he had 4 catches for 124 yards and a touchdown. It's impressive on 4 catches. He did the Marshawn Lynch, holds his dick right into the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad to see that celebration get back. He'll probably get fined for that. I know Marshawn Lynch got fined every time he did it, but I'd say
kind of worried because he's the guy that got like suspended just like a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, dude, just stop for like a minute and doing like dumb stuff. Like, I know it's probably not gonna matter, but like he also had been caught with like a gun, like a possession of a gun.
I think that was like his brother's gun. He was driving his brother's car, so I think they pretty much wrote it off as like that's not technically illegal.
Well, they're like reinvestigated it or something, because originally they were like wondering why he didn't get like taken into custody or something. I think it's against the law in Michigan, but yeah, I don't want him to get like more fines and more attention to himself, but it was still fun to watch. I loved it.
Yeah. I don't think you can get suspended for a celebration. You can only get fined for that.
I just want him to keep like building an image. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you know, getting a bad rap, because then it's like you do anything and you get like fined or you get suspended. So I just don't want that.
I mean, yeah, you got to be good first. Marshawn Lynch was dominant. So he could do whatever the fuck he wanted in interviews. He could do whatever the fuck he wanted off the field. He never really got in trouble, though. He didn't get suspended for shit. He just was kind of obnoxious to the NFL media in general.
Yeah.
He never cared for it.
He's just a shy dude, you know. He wasn't ever wanting to be like a, you know, star in that way. You know,
he didn't want to be the face of anything.
Community, yeah, in his community, he did. He's like a big like activist type guy in his community,
yeah.
Activist, but like, you know, he does a lot of work in the community. I think that's what he likes to do. I don't think he cares much for media and interviews.
Yeah, I mean, everybody went to play for the Raiders for like half a season.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it was like
to his home, town.
Wasn't it like his cousin or something got like a late hit? He just ran the field and hit the guy that hit him. Then he got ejected from the game. Then he just left. That was the end of his NFL career.
There was something weird that happened, but I don't really remember it. But yeah, that might have been it. Because I remember his like career kind of ended weird. Because it was like right before they were going to go to Vegas. So it was kind of like their send-off tour. So he went there. He was like old. He wasn't even really good anymore. But it was just kind of like fun. Everyone was happy for it, and he played well, like for a game or two. And then yeah, that just like fizzled out because he did something stupid.
I think that's how it ended. He got ejected, and he was like, "That's it. I'm fucking done." Then.
I mean, I respect it. I've always liked the guy. I can't hate it.
That's kind of honestly a great end to a career,
right?
The only thing that was funnier, I think the Bills had some guy like 7 or 8 years ago who just went to the locker at halftime. Took off his jersey and just left. He was like, yes, I quit.
Vontae Davis.
Yeah, they were so bad at the time. He's like, fuck this. I fucking quit.
He literally quit halfway through the game. We've only seen one other time that happened. That was Antonio Brown, where they like benched him or something.
Yeah.
He just freaking like takes off the jersey and just runs out waving at the fans or something.
That's right. Yeah, his story was sadder, I think. That guy's definitely have concussion syndrome, or he's just an idiot. It's hard to say.
I think it's a concussion. I still think it's that Vontae's perfect hit in the playoffs. There's even like quotes from like players and stuff that were on the team at that time said like he just changed after that day. So
yeah,
it was kind of the hit that did him in. It seemed like he had a bunch of other like concussions too, but that was just the last one. And yeah, I think it just ruined him for his life. I'm sure that guy will be a poster child for CT by the time he's gone.
See if he donates his brain.
I think he won't. He's way too, like...
Probably not.
I'm me. Now I care about me.
I'll try to sell it instead.
Didn't he go bankrupt this year?
Did he already?
I think so. Let me look it up. I'm pretty sure Antonio Brown cleared bankruptcy.
I guess I wouldn't honestly be surprised at all. But he made a lot of money. I guess he was kind of there before receivers started getting those real big paychecks, but... I mean, he was...
Yeah, he filed for bankruptcy this year.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That I'm fucked up. Well, he admitted it at least. But I mean, yeah, he like bought like a Arena Football League team, and he wasn't paying the players like for like over like a month, and he just like peaced out, and they couldn't know what happened to him. So yeah, he's kind of gone off the deep end.
I wonder what he does next in his life then. But next matchup, we got Mike versus Poor. Poor wins this one, 118.52 to 108.58. So Mike got his shiny new quarterback, CJ Stroud. He started him this week. He scored him 10.88. Burrow scored 29.04 and would have easily won the week for Mike, but, you know, spend $20 on a quarterback, you gotta start him.
You gotta say it.
What? Oh, it's the car?
He just carred himself again. We're
gonna
have to change the name of it. We're gonna have to call it the Stroud.
We might just call it the Mike.
Mike, yeah. At this point, it's official now. It's the mic.
I tried to defend him. We call it the car, but I think, yeah, now it has to be the mic.
Yep. We see it's a common thing with him. It's not the quarterback. Yeah. It's Mike.
Then we had Cooper Kupp. He had his best game of the season so far for Poor. He scored 25.6, had 2 touchdowns. That's a very good game for him. We had J.K. Dobbins. He had his first good game in quite a while. He had 18.4 for Mike. Had a pretty cool leap over the O-line, fancy touchdown in that game. He also had a touchdown right at the end of the game for, I think he was supposed to go down, and he just went in the end zone anyways. I think they were trying to run the clock out and kick a field goal he busted it, got into the end zone. The other team technically got the ball back, but it didn't really matter, I guess.
I'm still shocked. Like, they're told to, like, you know, slide at that point, not get the touchdown. Or if he just said, screw it, I want the touchdown. I mean, or maybe you just forgot, but yeah, most time it's like, hey, if you break this, do not score a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, hey, it works for fantasy.
I don't know exactly what the score was because I think they were losing. So it's like a guaranteed touchdown if you're on, or a guaranteed field goal if you're on the one, and you can run the clock down.
And no, they were up by more than two scores, or they're up by more than one score. So it was like they would have had to score at least a touchdown.
So a field goal would have iced it. A field goal,
I don't think, would have beat him. Or no. It was a touchdown, yeah. A touchdown plus 2.1 would have won it. So they were still up by like 9. So it wasn't like the end of the world, but yeah, they still don't normally tell you to do that.
Yeah, I think it's you take the guaranteed victory instead of
right
giving the random shot of a bomb touchdown and then an onside kick and then another bomb touchdown, which, you know, 0.005% chance of that happening, but
right, you just take the 100%.
It's higher than zero, yeah.
Right.
And then we had Juan Jennings. He looks like the wide receiver to own in San Fran this year. Like, see him, he scored 20.1 fantasy points. I don't know what's going on with Debo this year. He's not been doing much. Juan Jennings seems to be... I mean, Ayuk got hurt, so that's obviously why he's not involved and why Juan Jennings is there, but it's weird that Debo's not doing much.
I mean, T.O. called him out.
Who called him out?
T.O. Terrell Owens
called out Debo.
Yeah, he on some platform. I think it might have been like, you know, Twitter or something. Like, it was on the NFL subreddit, and it was something basically like, yeah, he's too focused on like his outfit he's wearing to the game and stuff. He's not as like into it as he has been in the past. And like, yeah, he called him out a couple times. So I don't know what that's all about, but it's pretty weird to see someone like Terrell Owens call him out, being that, you know, he's kind of a legend on the franchise. Yeah. And he's calling out another really high-profile player on the team, so something's going on there.
I mean, it's showing, I guess. The Niners aren't looking that great this year. Things aren't going according to plan. I know Debo, yeah, I think also he was like, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but the kicker kept missing field goals. And Debo kind of, he didn't even go to the kicker, he went to the long snapper, and he was like, fucking like jabbing him in the throat, being like, dude, don't fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
Quit fucking up. It's like, that's your teammate, man. The fucking jab in the throat.
He was going after the kicker, but then the long snapper like got in the way and was like pushing away. Yeah. And that's when Samuel backed down and he just walked away. He's like, oh, I don't want nothing, you know, after that. So yeah, he's kind of being a thug almost, like just trying to be tough. And then he got shot down basically. So yeah, there's something weird going on with him. The funny thing about all this though is we have another topic from our previous episode where we're talking about our predictions, because you were talking about Juwan Jennings being the best receiver here too.
Yeah, I mean, that one's looking like a lock at this point. Debo is not looking great. Ayuk got hurt, so that one kind of defaulted, but
still, he's like legitimately looking good. Like, if Samuel's playing well, I don't think he necessarily beats out Jennings. Like, Jennings is looking like a legitimate number two receiver in the league, so he's a solid player.
Yeah, he does look actually very good.
It makes it all the more baffling that they re-signed Ayuk. Like, I think we talked about that when it happened. Like, why not just keep Jennings?
Yeah, I guess you don't know what you have with Juan Jennings yet, because you haven't really seen him play in games versus Ayuk you have. And he was good. I don't know. Ayuk might have been being a pain in the ass with who he got traded to, too. It seemed like he didn't want to go to a lot of the teams that they were willing to pay what he wanted. So
yeah,
you kind of want to stick with the Niners. But then he got hurt, and the Niners aren't looking like a playoff team right now anyways. But I think the Steelers are one of the teams that wanted them, and they're looking like they might be a playoff team right now. Granted, they lost the Browns last night, but they still look surprisingly good, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%.
So we got one more matchup to go over. We have Jackie versus Richard. Jackie wins this one 122.52 to 104.98. So, Kirk Cousins, he scored 4.92 in the quarterback spot for Jackie. To Richard's Bo Nix, who threw 4 touchdowns and scored 28.78 fantasy points. So, pretty wild swing in the quarterback position, favoring Richard, but wasn't enough. Puka, he looked great again on Jackie's team. Got into the end zone, scored 21.8 fantasy points. Brock Bowers continues to dominate the tight end spot this season, scored 24.8 for Jackie. That guy is probably going to break the rookie receiving record this year, or reception record, I should say. Rookie reception record.
Which was set last year by Puka Porta, like 86. And like, yeah, he's
going to break 100. I'm saying total receptions.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's the one he's
set by Puka last year.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Right. He's definitely going to beat the tight end record.
That's right. I forgot the Puka one. Yeah, that's crazy. Man, there's been so many crazy like rookie seasons the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, there is one extra game, but
yeah.
Still.
True. But to see Brock
Bowers is a tight end.
Back-to-back.
Yeah. And there were 18 games last season, so there were 18 weeks last season.
Yep.
So the same amount of games for Brock Bowers as there was for Puka. Brock Bowers is a tight end. Yep. But yeah, it's crazy. He's like he's a tight end, so he's kind of like, he's the check down guy on some plays, but he's also like the big deep threat on some plays. Like, I don't know if you watched him much, but dude, the dude just, he's so fucking good. He makes it look easy. He's just so open on so many plays. How is no one covering him? It's like, I think they are trying to cover him actually, but he just gets open.
He's just that rare. I mean, he was talked about as like the, like, one of the like top 5 tight end prospects of all time. So he went way later than he probably should have in the draft. And it's just because teams don't value tight ends that highly. In bad drafts, they go earlier, but it was a really good draft, so he fell a little bit later. So yeah, it's just crazy to see him go that late for how high of a hype, how much hype he had actually as a prospect. So yeah, he's really showing that he is exactly what he was coming out of the draft. And he's looking like at least an all-timer rookie season, which, you know, that might be the start of a Hall of Fame career.
I hope so. That'd be awesome to see.
It's always fun to watch greatness.
Yeah. And then last point I had for this one was Derrick Henry. He had his worst game of the season so far for Richard. He only scored 10.5 with a touchdown. So that's your worst game of the year. That's pretty goddamn good. Still scored a touchdown, at least one touchdown every single week this season. So it's a pretty good base. You'd love to see it from Derrick Henry. This wasn't quite enough for Richard this year. Or this season.
I loved him.
Or this game.
I loved him going into the year. I mean, I was shocked that he was going in the second round. I just thought he was going to be the perfect piece for the Baltimore offense, and it's really showing.
Yeah, it's a difference maker there.
He's going to probably set some records for age at running back in like yardage total, huh? He's like 30, 31.
Yeah, he's up there. I mean, what was Adrian Peterson's last big season?
Probably like around 30.
I thought he was pretty old too when he had that big one. But maybe he was only 30.
His one that was like the MVP was somewhere, his 2000 was like 28, 27. I don't think it was in the 30s, but
oh, okay.
I feel like, yeah, he's going to have some crazy record at the end of this year because he was on pace for 2000 yards at like 31 years old. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, the last older running back I remember being good was like Frank Gore. He'd always get like, but he'd only get like 1,000 yards. Waited like every season for like until he was like 34 or 35. I was like, how are you still fucking doing this, man?
And that was just him being like serviceable. This is Derrick Henry's still just like the best like running back in the league.
Yeah.
You know, like he looks like he's not slowing down yet for another couple of years. Honestly, he's in the conversation with someone like Barry Sanders because Barry was around 30 when he left. I think he was 30, and everyone kind of thought he still had a couple more like great years left in him. So he's got that kind of like all-timer in him, I feel. So I would imagine we're going to be saying Henry's going to be a Hall of Famer by the end of it.
I sure should hope so. I mean, as a straight-up runner, there's no one better in the NFL. I don't know if there has been for the last like 5 or 6 or I don't even know.
Since he's been in the NFL, like, maybe some other guys might rival him, but like his like longevity of his like 10 years or so far, I mean, he's been the most dominant guy in that era, in that time frame.
Yeah. I mean, the only other guys that are in the conversation are like the receiving guys, like Christian McCaffrey, obviously. Saquon's been great. There's those kind of guys, but he doesn't even, he gets a couple catches, but he is not a receiver.
No, I mean, it's mostly just,
there's nothing designed for him to be getting thrown the ball.
And he's normally getting the ball behind the line of scrimmage. He's not running routes. You know, he's just getting behind some blockers. It's basically a run play just on the other side of the field. That's all.
Yeah, it's impressive. That's all I got for the week. Anything else you wanna add to it?
I think we had a good week. Thank you for rescheduling with me. I was sick all week, so made a little rough trying to do it on Tuesday. I don't think I would have made it. I was passed out by like 7 o'clock. So yeah.
Yeah, it's hopefully good to get sleep when you're sick.
Yeah. I did not feel good until Thursday night, I think. Maybe this morning. This is the first day I felt good, like, after work. So, yeah. Kind of near the end here, like you said, get your trades in. We only have 1 week left for those. And then we got the final stretch here. And like we'll talk about playoff seeding and seeing who's, like, a real threat to win it all next couple weeks here. And so have a good finish to the season.
Well, thanks everybody again for tuning in and listening. Good luck to everybody in fantasy this week, except Ashley. Bad luck to you. And have a good night. Cue that outro music.